Put on your seatbelt. Hey, you know, I had a brother tell me that he was going to, thanks, man, number one, he was going to mix them and match them. So I numbered them, by golly. All right. Welcome. I am so glad you're here. And this is OG. You will not see a slide today, but I may play on the dry erase board. BBD. Anybody? BBD. Hey, if you're a Kidmo kid or a Kidmo servant, please feel free to make your way wherever Kidmo is. I think it's upstairs. No? Nobody on BBD? Okay, well, good morning. What a privilege to come and open up the scriptures with you. As we continue to pursue God's heart in one of the most vital of our faith, Sabbath. God's heart is one, it is our pillar of faith. Specifically, we're going to talk today about Sabbath delight. So before we do, can we just stop for a minute and pray? Invite him into our presence as if he wasn't already here. Father God, we love you today. We worship you today. Thank you for reminding us that doesn't matter how big the waves get, man, you're bigger. Father, open our eyes. We want to see Jesus. Open our ears. Help us to listen. Father, then give us courage, grace, confidence to move boldly into the world around us that you created in all of your glory so that we can be the hands and feet of Christ, minister to a world that is lost and lonely without you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so recap. 2 weeks ago, Mark was emphasizing our most critical first step, and that was stop. That's right. Very good. We realized that the world's agenda is go, go, go. 24-hour everything. You can shop, you can eat, you can do anything you want to pretty much online 24 hours a day. This is the problem. It's designed to keep you moving regardless of the consequence to your mind, your body, your spirit. You have to choose to stop. Agreed? Yes, thank you. All right, last week, was that mine? Turn my phone off. If you guys hadn't turned off your phones, maybe that's now a good time to do it unless you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to call. All right, last week we looked at rest. Not the kind of rest that's required because we're depleted or exhausted, but that deliberate, slow breathing, revitalizing rest that happens when there's no deadline, no agenda to accomplish, no checklist, just rest. I am a physical therapist assistant by trade. I am retired, thankfully, but one of the best things I learned and have taught is a cycle of deep breathing that I want us to all practice. It's a 4-4-8, okay? This is it. 4 seconds, you breathe in through your nose. 4 seconds, you just hold that breath. And then 4 seconds, pursed lips like you're blowing out a candle, you release that. So let's try it together. We breathe in. Then we hold. Then we blow out. Cleansing breaths. 3 of those will recenter you no matter what is stressing you. Stop and breathe. Rest. That's a free one. Okay, so those are the don't do's. And then now we're going to move in. This next couple weeks is going to be the fun part. Paul and I got the best of the series, the do do's. Yes, I said that. The do do's. Not good English, but it's a great thing to do. All right, so there comes a magic moment, if you will, that when you stop and rest, it gives way to delight. And that's what we're going to experience today, delight. Webster defined it in a couple different ways. Number one is a noun. It is to take great pleasure in experientially. We are delighted. And then also as a verb, an action, to please greatly. The idea of delight in all its various forms in the Bible, delight, delighted, delightful, 110 times. Not only that one, but then also the related concept of pleasing, pleasure, pleasurable, 350 times. This is a topic I believe the Lord wants us to take a look at. It's important to Him. The Old Testament, the most two common Hebrew terms are two different ones. Hepe, which is, I should have looked. I know this. Why am I acting like that? All right, I'll bring it with me. So, hepe is like to bend toward or to incline yourself toward someone or something. Hepe. And then the next one is rasa. I know, we're learning Hebrew. Isn't that fun? Rasa. It's that to delight in or to take pleasure in. Okay? So, what a beautiful picture, isn't it? That whole idea of bending toward. Some of us love to play in the dirt. I do. My daughter-in-law, Paula, first part of the month of April, she brought me these little sick little sticks that she called tomato saplings that she had gotten from maybe her 4-H club at school or something. They were not ready to be put in the ground. First of all, if you're like me and if you've been in Chattanooga long enough, you know, like I know, and most of us learned the hard way, don't put anything in the dirt to grow in Chattanooga until after Easter. Because inevitably, you're going to get that mid-March, you know, early April, smack you upside the head, kill all of your plants, frost. So don't do that. Anyway, these little things were just bent and withering, and so I couldn't put them in the ground. I put them in my bay window on a plate. Well, my bay window faces south every day. Man, they're bent and they're moving west. They're looking for sunshine in my window. So much so that I'm having every day to turn them a quarter turn to get to right them back up again. The beauty of that was in 2 weeks or 3 weeks' time until Easter came, that quarter turn every day, every other day, them bending and righting and bending and righting made them some of the most hardy tomatoes. I can't wait. Hopefully I'll be bringing you guys in some cherry tomatoes and some heirloom, what are they? Cherokee purples. Oh, delicious. Really good on a sandwich. Anyway, you know, another thing we do, I love birds. I am sick with bird feeders. And one of my bird feeders, that is sunflowers, and we get volunteers that grow up. In the summer, we just let them grow for the birds. Well, you can watch them. You can literally watch them throughout the day. You can watch the heads of those sunflower turn with the sun. They're turning to get all of delight that they can. Did you hear that? That play on words there? I know, man. Old school. I told you, man. This is daddy joke day for me. Anyway, so the word delight. Hang on, guys. It's going to get good. All right. Today, to unpack this, I'm going to use the tried and true method, who, what, when, where, why. It's the best method of research for me. And I want you to feel free, if you have any questions, comments, you have a personal perspective you'd like to add, if the Holy Spirit nudges you while we're doing this, speak up. I'm not Mark, I'm Ken. And I don't mind being interrupted. And I don't think he does either. He'll tell you that until you do it a couple times. He's watching. No, seriously. If you got a question, comment, something you want to add to, feel free to do that. Man, we're a family. This is why we're here. Okay? And God blessed another Hebrew word, woohoo, Barak. God blessed Barak to bless, to make happy. Isn't that wonderful? God blessed and made happy and holy the Sabbath day. So, the first one, who? Who is this Sabbath for? Jesus said in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath wasn't made for man. It was man for the Sabbath, designed by God as a gift for us, not a requirement imposed upon us. God delights in the Sabbath because it's a day of rest and spiritual renewal. It's an opportunity to focus on Him, on His creation. It's a foretaste, think about that, of our eternal rest in Him. You know, we're going to hit a place when He calls us home where it will be an eternal Sabbath rest. Beautiful. The Sabbath is a day of joy, a delight in time to honor God and find pleasure in His presence. Simply put, it's a time for being with God. Be with God. You know this now. Want to finish it? Become like Him. Do the things He does. BBDs. That's what we are. That's what it was. That was just for you, Harlan. So, let's see if I can find my place. Being with Him. Right. Here's just a few ways that He delights in us. He delights in us when we obey, when we are in obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. He is delighted in us when we walk in His ways. Numbers 14, verse 8. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9. This declaration, hear it. 16:9 of the Psalm says, God delights in His people. He delights in us when we're honest in our business. Proverbs 20:23. He delights in us when we live a blameless life. Proverbs 11:20. When we're being truthful. Proverbs 12:22. He gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness to those who please Him. Ecclesiastes 2:26. He promises to deliver us and to He delivery to those in whom He delights. Psalm 18. God delights in showing mercy. Micah 7:18. Friends, are you hearing it? God delights in us. He loves you. He's not disappointed in you. He is delighted in you. He is bent toward you. Think about that. God, the God of the universe, His heart is bent toward you. And He delights in you being in His presence. Breathe that in. He is delighted when His kids live in harmony, peace, and community. Colossians 3:18. So, now we know that one. Who? How about what? What is Sabbath delight? We saw that God took great delight in the work of His creation. He said it was good. Yes, very good, right? He had created a world that He could admire. He set the stage and stepped back and took a look at the lighting, the flooring, the scenery that He had created, the stories He had conceived, the characters He had developed, the colors, the textures, the sounds. Why was it so good in His eyes? Because everywhere He looked, He saw something of Himself, of His own glory. And so the pleasure of God in creation is the pleasure of God in God. God is in pleasure with Himself. God is pleased with the Father. Father is pleased with the Son. The Son is pleased with the Spirit. This is a pleasing thing. God is delighted. So, we delight. I'm going to try one more thing. We'll turn it around. So, this is how we've been being delighted, right? We'll call that a circle delight. Am I messing with you guys doing this? Delight? Cool. Okay, so the first thing that we're told to do, we are delighting in God's world, in His creation, right? And then what else? We learned it said, in my life, in your life, in your life, in His world, in His creation. And then also just the fact that in Him Himself, in God, this is where delight is. It's all moving. We move from in circular motion, basically, in God's world, and then our realization of who we are in His world, and then the idea of God Himself. We're worshiping in circular motion. So, when do we do this Sabbath thing? If you guys have been following the way, you know that there are 8 rules of life. You remember? Sabbath is the only one that God scheduled a time for. All the other disciplines, all the other rhythms, all the other rules are either self-directed or community-oriented. I don't have to guess what time it is that I go and be community with church. I know it's Sunday at 10:30. Sometimes I know inevitably I need to stop and I need to get in my word, or I need to stop and pray for someone or with someone. Those are things that we see and we dictate when that's going to happen, not with the Sabbath. He gave us a directive every 7 days. You say, but Lord, that's too often. Lord, you're asking too much of me. I'm so busy. And that's the rub. He's telling us if we would observe a Sabbath in rhythm with all the rest of his creation, then we would be, as he is, delighted. Why are we surprised? He set in his creation into motion, and it has an ebb, and it has a flow, and a rhythm, and a rhyme, and a reason. We don't question, why does the sun rise every day or set so beautifully? We don't question the phases of the moon, the tides, the seasons as they change. We don't question any of those. And so why are we surprised that he's asked us in the beauty of life in Sabbath to enjoy these things? Note also all the other rules of life: fasting, generosity, prayer, scripture, solitude, community, witness. All of those rhythms are often, if not regularly, woven into the fabric of what he's asking us to give in Sabbath. Okay. Don't flip a page, you'll miss. We are invited weekly to step away from the pressures of our daily grind, engage in activities that bring us joy and satisfaction. It's a time for not just a deepening connection with God, but also for opportunity for deep connection, prayer, study, fellowship with each other. It's a time for families to get to reconnect, reintroduce themselves at the end of a long week. Strengthen our bonds through activities that bring us closer together, and it's also just a chance for us, our spirit and our body, to refresh, renew, hit that button to just revitalize us. The point is that it's something that he has asked us to be consistent with and deliberately pick a day, a time, a schedule with purpose, opportunities for rest and revitalization. So, how are we doing on time? Where? Sabbath can happen no matter where you are. Have you ever heard that term, no matter where you go? There you are? Well, that's the way it is with him as well. You know, no matter where you go, you have an opportunity. And the cool thing about Sabbath is it may take place in more than one place. Where can be a fluid thing. For me, the best place for me to do Sabbath is at home. It's where I am most comfortable. It's where I'm most familiar. It's where it's a no-brainer. It's easy for me to be able to invite family and friends into my space. Another place is nature. Look around you. The psalmist declared in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." So that means there is nowhere in his creation that does not reflect him. Get out there and take a walk. Leave your headphones. Let the birds be your worship leader for the day. Pick a vehicle. It doesn't matter. Are you walking? Are you biking? Are you, in a canoe? And then pick a venue. You want to go to the mountains. You want to go to the ocean. You want to go to the beach. To where? The point is, for me, woods and water. If I need to connect with my Father, all I need to do is step out of my backyard and go up, and I have woods in my back up there, and I can scream, I can laugh, I can dance, I can do anything I want up there with him, and he and I get along beautifully. For me, it's wind and water. Woods and water. Where is it for you? You have to figure that out. So, Psalm 139, starting in verse 7, makes it clear that there is no place in the world that exists that you will not find him. And I dare you to go out there and try, and then come back with me, and I want to hear about that. The next thing is get with like-minded people, hanging out with other people that share the same faith values that we have. Provides us with that sense of community, that belonging, that camaraderie that we don't get anywhere else. We need that fellowship. We need each other. It's hard for most of us, let's say, to have a party of one, right? I mean, you know, I can do it. Some of you may be able to, but most of us, it takes more than one of us to have a good party. The extension of that, and I'm sure you're wondering why I hadn't mentioned it now. If we're talking about being with like-minded people, then the next natural place to talk about doing that is corporate worship. And we're going to hear a lot about that next week from Paul. But that idea of church, great place to find like-minded people to hang out with, right? Every one of you, I believe, are here with the same purpose and same reason why I came. To hang out with people and visit our God and just reminded how much He loves us and what He wants to tell us. You remember, when I was growing up, church was different, and so was our culture. When I was growing up, people didn't ask you if you went to church. They asked, where did you go to church and how often you went to church? And my answer was always Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special occasions, whatever event that church door was open for, that's when we were there. Culture also was a little bit different. How many of you remember that Sunday morning, man, nothing. I mean, nothing was open. If you were out of bread, eggs, milk, cheese, if you didn't have a good neighbor, you weren't going to Food City. They weren't open. God forbid you'd run out of gas because you're going to be walking. I believe the only thing in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you could do on a Sunday morning when I was growing up was buy a Sunday paper. That's it. So anyway, the sense of community has changed. It was stronger back then. And it's amazing to me that what's happened is we had fewer obstacles. The busier we've gotten, the harder it has become for us to find and build margin in our lives. So now we have to talk about then the why. Why are we going to do this? Why do we have to do Sabbath? Well, first of all, because he said so. But and boy, don't you love that as a child when it's like, why do you have to do that? Because I said so. Ooh, I hated that. Anyway, squirrel. Why? The benefits are immediate and eternal. As you learn to live in and practice Sabbath, you begin to delight because you see how it offers you a break from your struggles. You see the chances you get to connect with God, with your loved ones. You get reminded of His deliverance in your life. It's a day for you to get to focus on the physical, spiritual renewal of your family, strengthening those ties. Sabbath is not a burden. It's an opportunity to find joy and rest in God's presence. It's not a dreary religious activity, an obligation. It is a life-giving day of delight. Do we believe that? I mean, you remember when I was growing up, Sunday was like, that was all the days that you remembered all the things you weren't supposed to do, the things you couldn't do, right? It wasn't this, oh, I can't wait, man, I'm going to go to Sunday school, I'm going to learn a verse, I'm going to sing some songs. No, it was like, oh, man, can't we just go play football? Or you know. Anyway, so that's the who, what, when, where, why. Are you guys okay so far? With me? Any questions? Comments? Complaints? Why is it so hard to stop? Because the world doesn't give us permission. It doesn't. Who is inviting you to stop and rest in your world? When you come to work, what do they want you to do? Perform. They want you to put it out, put it out, put it out, put it out. When you get done, what do you got to do? Now we've got to take our child to softball, soccer, ballet, swimming, Okay, now we gotta, now let's hurry up and get home, and now let's everybody get something to eat, and now let's everybody, now we've done something to eat, now let's get our bath, and go home, and then we're going to rest, and we're going to get up, and we're going to do it all over again tomorrow. And we do it over and over. It's a rat race. We don't give ourselves permission to rest because we think we have things to accomplish. The world isn't gauging our being on what we're not doing. It's always about what we're doing. And that's what we were talking about in Genesis. It's about making bricks. It's about, you know, do. It's a work of empire, not shalom. There is no peace outside of God. And God's given us a perfect opportunity to get to know that by just stopping and talking to him, sitting with him once a week. Okay, let's keep moving. So that, now we're moving into a good point. We heard who, what, when, where, why. What about now? How? Because if you can't figure out how to wait to put this into practical application, it means absolutely nothing to you. You're going to walk away from here tickled in your ears and fancy and wait until next week when Paul tells us all about worship. But we're going to have some homework here in a few minutes. But how do we practice Sabbath delightfully? Listen to this quote. It's going to get you. It moves me every time I read it. Listen to this. Allender wrote in his book entitled Sabbath, "The Sabbath is an invitation to enter delight. The Sabbath, when experienced as God intended, is the best day of our lives. Without question or thought, it's the best day of the week. It's the day we anticipate on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's the day that we remember on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Sabbath is a holy time when we feast, we play, dance, have sex, sing, pray, laugh, tell stories, read, paint, walk, watch creation in its fullest. Few people are willing to enter into Sabbath and sanctify it and make it holy because a full day of delight and joy is more than most people can bear in a lifetime, let alone a week." What does that tell us about us? That we are delight deficient. When's the last time? I mean, you think about how God wired us. Don't you like to be around happy people? I mean, you think about the people in your life that it's like, oh man, I love Bob, man. I can't wait to see Bob. If I could go hang out with Bob tonight, I would do it because every time I'm with Bob, he is a blast. We have fun. He's asking us to be delighted. Let's see if we can learn how to do that. Knowing that kind of joy is so countercultural and opposite to the way our brains are wired. So how are we going to do that? Let's just a couple things to help and facilitate this. Number one, slow down. Hurry and joy are incompatible. We have to. Have I said it enough times? We have to slow down. We have to slow down. Joy demands that we slow down and savor each moment. It isn't until we slow down that we can see God in all of our circumstances, moment to moment. And then another thing we have to do, we have to set healthy boundaries. Not just set healthy boundaries, we have to be willing to keep healthy boundaries. Here's one for you guys. I want you to write it down. It's an easy sentence. No. No is a complete sentence. And when delivered properly, powerful. Practice that. No. Thank you for asking. That's the southern way to do it. No, but thank you for asking. Yeah, you are allowed to say no. Set margin. Joy says that you have to learn to say no to some things in order to say yes to me. That's what Joy said. We have lost the art of savoring the morsel, the bite. that, you know why? We can't savor a bite of food because what we do, we indulge all week. We can't enjoy, we can't savor, we can't relish a good book or a good film because we binge watch Netflix every night. We watch TV all week long. We have not set ourselves in margin. Marva Dawn, the writer of a book that was really good book, if you want to, it's called Keeping the Sabbath Holy. She speculated that we are unable to feast because we have not yet learned to fast. Okay? It's true. Try to recall the last time that you saved up for a purchase instead of slapping down your credit card. Okay? When's the last time that you skipped sweets so that you could savor dessert with a family or friend during a Sabbath meal? I don't remember the last time that I willfully, you know, denied myself an indulgence in order to more greatly appreciate it later in moderation. It just, that is so not me. You know, a word of caution, it's about boundaries and not burdens. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's not asking us to do something that's hard. He's asking us to come and hang out with Him. When you think about the people you love and how easy it is to hang out with them, why? Tell me, why is it any different with Him? All right, it may be as easy as this, dry erase board. Let's see if that worked. It might be just a couple lists. Make it easy for yourself. Do it. Hey, stop moving. I feel like one of those. Let's put that right there. An I will list. What? I will stop. I will sleep. You know, I will play. You remember what Marty said? We play, we rest, no work. God loves us. That's Sabbath. God loves us. Okay? So, one, I will. What are the things you will do or not do? And then the I will not. I will not. I will not shop. I will not work. You know, I will not, what? Other things. I will not. Figure out a way to make it work for you. All right. We've wrestled through the idea of delight. Here's just some closing thoughts. We're going to wrap it up. Are you guys ready for me to be done? I know, I am too. It's crazy. Let me take a sip of water. Are we doing all right so far? Because it's just wearing me out. Do what? Yeah, we do. We've had friends from Vietnam in with us, and it's always a pleasure, but it is exhausting. Let's see. Thought number one, God is joyful. What? Do you know that in Galatians 5, what's the second fruit of the Spirit? Joy. First love, then joy. God is joyful. Probably the most understated foundational truth. And that's basically where everything else begins from. God is joy. Okay? Why is it that we think about and say about God so many other truths? God is faithful. God is powerful. God is righteous. God is just. What about joyful? What about God is joyful? Embracing the truth that God is joyful, is that's like base camp. From everything else goes from there, okay? God is a person we get to enjoy. Have you ever thought about that? That God's not just God. God is a person that we get to enjoy and hang out with like that? Whew. So, God is a person that we get to enjoy and we get to be with on the Sabbath. And knowing that God is joy, that's going to shape us. It's not going to just shape how we enter into Sabbath, but it's also going to shape what that space looks like once we get there while we're in Sabbath. If you're going to spend a day with God, and God is joy, then you know what? It's going to be a good day, man. It's going to be a good day. You guys excited about that? You guys are looking at me like, dadgum. You have to tether me and hold me down because of stuff like this. This is why we're here, right here. Get the joy. Because I got the joy down in my heart. Well, come on. All right. If we're going to spend a day with God and God is joy, then it's going to be a good day. Don't you like hanging out with people that are joyful? It's no different with God. Fact is that God is the most joyful person in the universe. The great author, A.W. Tozer, you remember him? Author, pastor, preacher, 70-something years ago, said this, and it reflects and is still so true today. Wrestle with this one if you don't take anything home with you. But this question, wrestle with it. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you? Did you hear that? What you think about God is the most important thing. Whatever comes into your mind when you think of Him, that's what is the most important thing about you. For better or worse, we become like our vision of God. Do you feel guilty when you start thinking about the idea of spending 24 hours, a whole day devoted to God? Do you feel guilty thinking, yes, Lord, that's too much. I can't do that. That's a lot. It doesn't sound like fun at all. You know, I'm one of those people that if it ain't fun, it's too much like work. I'm out of here. And also know, too, that this, it's hard to want to spend time with someone that you think is mad at you or always hostile or cold or aloof. Those aren't the kind of people that you want to hang out with. And so that's we're drawn to people who are joyful, that you can't wait to see, that you're happy to be around and you're full of joy when you're with them. So if you haven't wrestled through with yourself, who is God to me? How big is God to me? What's He like? How is He different from all the ways that I have perceived Him based on some of the truths that I'm hearing now about Him being a delight and being delighted in me? Those are the things I want you to wrestle with and go to Him. Go to Him in awe like a child and say, Lord, man, I want to experience. I want to know You. We sing that song. I want to know You more. Go to Him and say, God, show me who You are in all of Your glory. But in this aspect, how are You delighted in me? How do I delight in You? Are You really so pleased with me that You're bent toward me? Who are You, God? And erase the things that I have thought that were wrong about You and instill in me the truth of who You are. Sit with Him until He reveals Himself to you and see how that looks. Number two, thought. Delight is a way that we honor our joyful God. The best way they say that it's possible for you to say thank you or to be to show gratitude, to say thank you to anybody, whether it's God or it's your aunt at Christmas time, is the idea of really just enjoying the gift you received from them. That speaks volumes. And that's because joy in its simplest form is gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. We have so much to be thankful for, so much more than we can say grace over. So God's delight, and God delights in our delight. And you know what? No. What, Ken? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's okay. I know, I tried. It's okay to prioritize fun. What? It's okay to prioritize fun. Listen to this. Dallard Willard said this. He said, the devil's strategy is to make sin look good and to make it look like it makes us happy. So the best possible way for you to avoid sin, to avoid temptation of sin, is to discover joy. Happy, joyful people tend to be holy people. I mean, you think about the holy people in your life, and aren't they the happy people in your life as well? Yes? No? Maybe? Okay. Number three. Let's think about this one. Don't watch out for counterfeit delight. It's real super easy to get confused between confusing delight with pleasure or entertainment, to believe that what feels good is good. You see, the more that you encounter true goodness, true joy, fullness of joy, what your soul is craving, aches for, the more you encounter that, that's when you become better at discerning the difference between reality and not. What's real and what isn't in your life. Thought number four, Sabbath is a weekly exploration of true delight. As your view of God increases, and especially His joyfulness, His delight, then your delight becomes fuller and your soul becomes full of joy. Jesus said that He came and He said that He wanted our joy to be full. All right. If you're not good at this, don't worry, because remember what He said? It's a weekly practice. You get to practice this. You get to try these things. Don't get stuck in a rut that doesn't work for you. Do a line of pros and cons. Things that are working for you and your family, things that are not. Try things out. Do things until you get into a rhythm that follows stop, rest, delight. It's a flow that is required. The imperative is, and they didn't design it. It wasn't, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's just the way that they put this together. But there is a natural progression. There's an overlapping. You cannot rest until you've stopped. You can't find delight if you're too tired. The danger of exhaustion is that you won't even have the energy it takes to restore your soul because you're just too tired. So, what happens when we're too tired? We divert ourselves and our attention to entertainment. Things that don't cost us anything, don't require anything of us, mindless scrolling, whatever it is that we're doing. But when we do rest, there comes a time of release that allows us the capacity to just rest. Number five, and this is a real key. Delight, specifically Sabbath delight, is best done in community. This isn't an I thing, it's a we thing. And it may be that you start out an I thing, but it was designed for us. Sabbath is us. It's a community discipline that we get to do together. Celebration is a together thing to do. And this, everything about Sabbath so far, it seems like it's all about celebration. I don't know where the dreary came in, but I guess it was when people started taking over and forgot what God's intent was. The best way to start in community and for learning how to do Sabbath is a Sabbath meal. The easiest thing in the world. It's the best way to start. And it could be just your family starting out, or it could be that you have a comfort of being willing to invite other friends and community to come and do that with you, experience in it. But there's something about being at a table and breaking bread, man. We do that, my men's group, on Thursday nights. There's some things that we always do, and there's some things that we never do. But one of the things that we almost always do is communion. And it's a beautiful thing. And we come and we let ourselves be men and broken, but also available to each other for restoration and for encouragement, strength, and hope. And we eat man, we feast. We have meat night. We got mystery meat night that we do. We have a lot of fun with it. But anyway, this idea. The psychologist said the highest levels of happiness people experience is when they are eating a meal around a dinner table. That's pretty good. It's so simple. Anybody can do it. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have a great house. All you got to do is be willing to open up your home. There is a tragedy when you begin to confuse entertainment with hospitality. Entertainment is a show-off thing. It is for people to see what you got. Hospitality is about service, serving others, being in community. Jesus was the most hospitable person we know, and he didn't own a home. Yet everywhere he went, he was the host, and he invited the people to his table. This is a doable thing. Anybody can do it on any budget. We invite people over to dinner. We create a Sabbath and community for people that may not have it. We don't know what God is using us to do when we just make ourselves available in community to love each other like that. So we may not be ready for a full-on 24-hour, set ourselves apart thing for a Sabbath. But you know what I bet we can do? I bet we can start with a meal. You know what? We could invite someone to come and sit at the table with us and experience God and have God experience us in that Shabbat Shalom. That's all I got, man. Let's pray. And then we're going to go.